يا
العالمين وبه نستعين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا رحمة للعالمين أبي القاسم محمد اللهم صل على محمد والصلاة والسلام على أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد Amma ba, assalamun alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives us enough opportunity that from what we have been speaking to you for the last 7 or 8 days and 7 or 8 hours that you've heard, that out of that He blesses us with some sort of understanding and closeness to Him so that we can be in a state of submission and in a state of love for the being who saved that particular tawheed that distinguishes us from all the rest of the people who believe in one God. The topic was important and it's still important. I don't think we'll be able to complete it. And I don't think it's possible to complete that topic in 8 hours or 10 hours. So I would urge my brothers to, or and my sisters and my elders, to have, go back onto the speeches that we have, listen to them whenever you get a chance. And I'm sure, as many times as you will see, the more things will become clearer for you. Because to this madness, there was a system. Although, not sure if you caught the drift of it. But when you go through from the first night till now or till the end, you will see that there was steps that we were taking to get us closer to that idea. We mentioned to you that in the beginning that there are many different types and shapes of Tawheed. If you just say that there is only one God, okay? When you say that there is only one God, Christians, they say the same thing. The Jews, they say the same thing. The Hindus, they say the same thing. The Sikh, they say the same thing. Okay? If you were to look at all of the 7 billion people in the world, and you were to take the ratio of the atheists in the world, it's not even 1%. Like you can kind of do a bit of research, find it, put it on Google, what is the ratio of how many atheists are in the world, and you'll see it's like 0.00083 something. It's a very, very minute number. So everybody, the 7 billion people on the world, right, they all say that there is one God. Yet we have Muslims, we have Christians, we have Jews. In Muslims we have 72 or 73, or every year it seems that there is another sect that is coming about, right? Another group of people having a little bit of different version of Islam. Then we also have in Christianity about 5,000 different groups. And Judaism, we have the Orthodox and we have the moderate, and then we have some other groups as well. And in Hindus, if you go, there's 300 or more, or it could be like close to 1,000 different versions of their own mazhab. And the same thing for Sikhs. There's also a different version that you, when you go and you learn about them, you'll see that there are some people who believe in this and some people who do not believe in that. So the whole idea about having to go through this is that Imam Hussain al-Islam saved Tawheed. But if we consider Tawheed just to be that calling God is one or believing in one God, then how is it that we are different by from the rest of the groups of people who call themselves Muslims, or from the Christians, or from the Jews, or from Hindus, or from Sikhs. And if you compile all of the information, you'll see that it is the differences in understanding of who that one God is. According to that understanding, in each and every single religion, you find that there are different groups of people. Right? So the difference is not really in the prophet or the representatives, or even the books, or even the teachings. The main difference, the reason why 7 billion people are divided when it comes to religion, is because of the understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or that one God that they call God. Right? So we differ from Christians because they say that, you know, the Trinity concept is there, that there are three things that are separate, but it's also one. So we don't say that there is three gods, we say there is only one God, but there is three different versions of that God. One was manifested in a son, he came on the earth as a son. One was manifested in, sort of spiritual, the Holy Trinity has that particular word I'm trying to look for, the Holy Ghost or something like that, they have a particular term they end up using, right? And then through that understanding, we say that, no, this is not correct. The God cannot be limited, that you say that he has to come on this earth and he has to take the shape of a human being, and then after taking the shape of the human being, sacrifice himself, so that after sacrificing himself, all the sins of the progeny of Adam are forgiven. Okay. And the same sort of debates we will have with the Jews, with the Hindus, with the Sikhs and so forth. But we need to have a debate among our own selves, the people who call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as their God. Because when you go through Islam, you'll find that there are some Muslims who believe that God actually has a body. That he's sitting on a throne and that he comes down from his throne and he will put on the Day of Judgment his leg in the hellfire, and then the hellfire will be satisfied, then he will also create human beings at that particular time, because heaven would be empty and he will fill the heaven at that particular moment. Right? You have the understanding of God that, you know, whatever God wills, that's it. Meaning what? Meaning if he decides that Imam Hussein is going to be martyred, then there is no blame that you can put on the people who martyred Imam Hussein. Or that, you know, this was the creed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so you cannot blame or you cannot complain against the creed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, against the destiny. So therefore, whatever happened in the battlefield of Karbala is okay. They have the belief that if, you know, Yazid was to be sent to heaven, he could be if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides. And if he decides to send a person who's obeyed him all of his life to send him to hell, that's also possible. So when you go through the understanding of what God is in every single religion, you will find that you can negate a religion by just that portion of understanding. You can look at Christianity and say, no, Christianity cannot be the religion from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of their understanding of God. You can look at Sikhism, Hinduism, and Judaism and say that this cannot be the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you look at all of the religions out there, Islam in particular, and that path and the chain of information that we have from Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, the best explanation given to humanity about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in our mazhab. And you can go ahead and do your research and you will find the best understanding that is given about a God who is almighty, all-knowledgeable, all-powerful, is by Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, who learned it from the Holy Prophet and who learned it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the representatives of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the awliya of Allah, there are among us who also were present in the past, took that information from Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, implemented it, and they became the closest beings to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the grade to find out whether a religion is true or not is actually that concept of God. Therefore, a Muslim says that I've gone through all of the things, all of the beings that people call gods, and I said that they are not gods. La ilaha, that's what it means. That there is no other God. That there is no, the God of Christians is not a God. the gods of Jews is not a god of their understanding, what they believe, right? The gods of Sikhs is not the god. The gods of Hindus is not the god. There's only one God, illallah, yani except of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So you see, as a Muslim, this is our responsibility. That we were to learn about Tawheed and learn it from Imam Masumin and the Holy Prophet. We missed out on that step and we went directly to the step of the Holy Prophet. Well, if your understanding of God is that He is on a throne and He comes down and He has a body, then guess what, that kind of God is going to send a prophet. What type of prophet is that going to be? And then afterwards, what type of people are going to take the representation of that prophet? So you see, it's not a matter of history. It's not a matter of anything else or about prophet or imamat. It's the actual concept of God that is understood throughout the years that Bani Adam has been on this earth, the progeny of Adam, Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and Hazrat Hawa alayhi salam. Throughout that, that's been the issue. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept sending, He sent 124,000 prophets, and every prophet came and said, اِعْبُدُ اللَّهُ وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ. That you should submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you should avoid the people that are transgressors. Whenever people have transgressed in religion, they have changed the concept of God, which changes the concept of prophet, it changes the concept of representatives, and it even changes the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you and I who are, you know, trying our very best to stay on the phones and keep texting and, you know, try to still keep in touch and use our Facebook to see how many people like us, right? We are living and we are staying in a state of, you can say sleep, you can say avoiding the topic, you can say not interested in it, you can say just, it's not, you know, we are too much involved in something else, so we cannot give time to something else. But my brothers and sisters, especially my younger ones too, you know, yeah, you can play your Minecraft. You see, like as soon as I'm going to say Minecraft, they're going to look at me. Right? You can play your Minecraft, you know, an hour, 2 hours, but don't play for 4 to 6 hours. Because if you do, that means that you are in obedience to that Minecraft and that Minecraft becomes your God. Because in that process, you might be disobeying your parents. In that process, you might be losing out on your future. Right? So whenever something transgresses, whenever something crosses the boundaries, if it's entertainment, it should be in boundaries. If the entertainment crosses the boundaries, it's taghut. It's a transgressor. And once that does that, it becomes in the shape of God. And people, you will see them obeying and living their lives in such a manner. Right? Whenever, okay, you guys watch movies, you can watch your movies, but just make sure before you watch the movie, just think about if that movie is going to elevate you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or get you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your criteria has to be that Allah, that in your life, He has to be the nucleus, and around that nucleus, all of your life revolves. Okay. If you're into soccer, you can watch a soccer match, but don't transgress in that. Because anytime you transgress, even in the matters of religion, you cross the boundaries of that, and that religion doesn't stay a religion anymore. It becomes the reason for a person to just, you know, have it on their tongue, just recite the namaz, and nothing actually gets affected to their soul. All right. So, the reason why I started off this way is that we want to try to summarize now a little bit of what we said. The other thing also I mentioned to you is that you should look at the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To find out who He is, you have to look into the greatness of the signs that is given to you. Try to understand, you know, when you study your sciences, your biology or your chemistry or your physics, try to understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's greatness through those signs. Even the mathematics that you will study, the logic that you study, even if it's law, it's accounting, any subject that you're going out and learning in college or unis, you should take that and utilize it as means to understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The people who are working, you know, you should go to work in the submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and utilize your work as means to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, we talked about means and end. Right? Even we mentioned that azal of Imam Hussain alayhi wasalam is means, it's not the end. If that means is getting us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah. If that means is getting us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and making us, you know, a little bit lethargic when it comes to our obligations, a bit too content that we're all going to heaven, or in a way that, you know, our lives goes out of the bounds of Islam, then we have to understand that there is something wrong in that azad that we're doing. Okay? Part of some of the questions that the youths, they come up with, and we had a few questions and answer sessions. One of the questions, it's in regards to, you know, the visual that we have for the azaa of Imam Hussain. Okay, so because today is the night specified for the Tabasir, we will discuss a little bit and try to connect it to Tawheed. In the next couple of days, I think I have another day or so, we will try to like connect the dots. But I want you to do that as well, okay? So, the visuals of azaa is right, like some of them are right in front of you, right? So you have the mimbar, you have the alam, you have a maulana, right? And who's wearing the dress that is symbolic to the Prophet, right? This is all visual. You have a banner that Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that, you know, the people are the slaves of this world. The religion is on their tongues. As long as they're not tried with trouble or hardship or trial, you know, they're okay. As soon as they're tried, they spit that religion out, and you will find that there are very less people who are religious. Okay? This is also a visual. Like, it's right in front of you. I'm not sure how many people actually have read it, and actually you can, every day that you're coming, you can take a look at this tradition and memorize it. Right? The black cloth that you see all around, that's the visual. Imam Hussain's name is there. The zari is there. Right? All of this is part of the visual. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us as visual beings. That's why today you have your PowerPoint very, very successful. Right? Movies are successful because they're a visual. A person rather read a book, or would a person rather watch a movie? What out of the two, which one do you prefer? Do you prefer reading the novel of Harry Potter, right, with all the volumes of thousands of pages, or would you rather watch the movie with all of the series? Right? Yeah, it's just a movie, right? Movie, you'll be like happy to see. About Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, either studying the history of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, you would rather watch that movie of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, because we are visual beings. Now, the movie that you're going to go after is what your interest is. If you're interested in Harry Potter and having given your life, you know, 4 hours, 6 hours of your life to Harry Potter, you'll do that. If you're interested in Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, you'll give the you know, time of 4 to 6 hours or more to the movie of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam. But you are a visual being. Your motivations might differ. Or SpongeBob, for example, you know, these guys would have watched every single episode of SpongeBob. You know, they've even memorized, right? You've even memorized the dialogue as well. You know what SpongeBob's going to say. You know what Patrick is going to say. You've seen the episodes over and over again. Because the interest is there. Now the same child, if his interest was built in Quran, by your age you would have been a hafiz of Quran. You would have memorized the whole of Quran. Because when you have the capacity to watch that episode over and over again and memorize the dialogues, or somebody who likes Pokemon, you know, they know all of the Pokemon, and it's so difficult, those names, but they memorize all of them. They trade the cards as well and so forth, and they feel very happy. If they were to memorize the Quran or surahs, they would have had, instead of memorizing the whole of Pokemon series, you could have memorized at least, let's say, the 30th juz, the last chapter of Quran. And same goes for our brothers, elders, and same goes for our youngsters that are in their 20s and so forth. So many things you've memorized, they were part of the visual, you did that. But why not Quran? Because there was not really interest. It was not a motivation. Right? So we are a visual being. We need visuals to get our mind towards something which we cannot see. With me? We need that visual to direct us towards something that we cannot see. Can you see love?
No.
You cannot see love. We mentioned that before. Can you see hate?
No.
You cannot. But you can see the signs and effects of hate. Right? And the love is the same thing. You cannot see love, but you can see the effects and the signs of love. True? Can you see bravery? Bravery as a quality you cannot see, but you can see the effects of someone who has this quality. True? So now, Hazrat Abbas والسلام, is the embodiment of loyalty, he's the embodiment of bravery, he's the embodiment of knowledge, right? He's the embodiment of the submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's the embodiment of a character that had the characteristics of Imam Ali والسلام, Imam Ali والسلام, having the characteristics from the Holy Prophet, and all of that is embodied and more in Hazrat Abbas والسلام. Right? Now what you see that, you see the effects of it in Karbala. True or not? You see the effects of it in Karbala. Hazrat Abbas والسلام, the way he acted, the way he showed his bravery, the way he showed his submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way he showed his loyalty to Imam Hussein, and the way he showed his character in Karbala. It's narrated in history. Right? If somebody was to make a movie, right? If somebody was to make a movie about Karbala, when you will see it, you will get to see those things that you couldn't see before. With the effect of visual. The emotions that will come, you will go, okay, I understand the loyalty of Hazrat Abbas. Right? So the method that we had in the past and will stay in the future as well, because we're always using symbols, we're always using visual effects to get close to something we cannot see, especially is the alam of Hazrat Abbas. And the black that you see, and the name, and all of the, you know, the banners and everything, these are all visuals. That once you see it, you will get close to something that you cannot see with your eyes. Every time you see the alam of Hazrat Abbas, if you kind of put your mind towards it, loyalty, the emotion of loyalty will come in your heart. So sometimes the youth, they come up with this that, you know, we don't need, for example, this. No, we need it. Just as much we as human beings need visuals for us to be able to understand and to see those things that we cannot see from our eyes, we're going to always need the alam of Hazrat Abbas. You know, even when Imam Zaman Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he comes, Allahu Akbar. He is going to have his own banners, his own flags. Ya Tharat al-Hussein is going to be written on it. That the people are going to take the revenge of the blood of Imam Hussein Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Every country has a flag, no? I'm just trying to get your minds closer to it. Every country has a flag, right? Why do they have a flag? Because that represents that country. And in that flag, they will always put those colors and combination of shapes and forms that for them is important, that represents them. You know? The one time I was at a center, they had one flag of the US flying in the middle was their sign, and on the other side, they had the flag of Hazrat Abbas. They had the alam of Hazrat Abbas. So I said to them, either you take this world or either take the hereafter. You know, don't stay in Barzakh. Either you take the camp of Hazrat Abbas, or take the camp of somebody else, but don't be in the middle, because they had the sign in the middle. That flag is a representation of the pure loyalty that Hazrat Abbas showed to the Imam of the time. And when we are waiting for the Imam, we need to show that loyalty. So the Alam of Hazrat Abbas is just not a cultural thing. It is actually has a visual purpose that gets us closer to those concepts that were the concepts of the Hazrat Abbas embodied in his character and his being. And every time you will see the Alam, if you have the understanding, all of those emotions will come to you in a matter of moments. Right? Then the youths also end up saying that, you know, an objection also is given to us by kissing. Now, if we kiss the Alam of Hazrat Abbas, they say that this is shirk. And because this propaganda has been done so much that even some of our youths are starting to believe it. You know? If you want to show love to a human being, you go all over the world. Expression of love is a kiss. You go all over the world. Anywhere you want to go, you'll see that this body language is synonymous, is common among all cultures that didn't even get to speak with each other. They were that far back that they didn't even speak to each other. That this particular body language is a sign of love. Right? So if somebody kisses the hand of their father, which is actually mustahab, right? It is recommended to kiss the hand of your father. You get sawab for it. The father should have a better salawat than that, you know. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So this kissing of the hand is also present in all of the Muslim groups, because it's a tradition from the Holy Prophet. And you will find all Muslim groups, the children, if they want to follow this particular tradition, they will kiss the hand of their father. Now if you kiss the hand of your father according to what the Holy Prophet had said, right, does that become shirk? Right? If you were to kiss the hand of your father, you're showing the expression of your love and you find him to be holy, you want to express that through your body language, and no Muslim is going to say that this is shirk, that this is polytheism. That by showing this affection and the sign of love, that you're making your father as a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody is going to say that. They're going to say that this is a very good child following on the tradition of the Holy Prophet to show the expression of love. There is the symbol of the body language for affection and kindness and respect. Right? So now, when you look at the actual logic behind for people to put this objection that we do shirk by kissing the Alam of Hazrat Abbas alayhi salam, you know, they will go and, for example, kiss Hajar Aswad is okay. It's a stone. Right? And people actually forcefully, they will push people and, you know, they'll try their very best to get to that place and, you know, go through a lot of trouble to go and kiss that stone. Right? Could a camel become that holy that if he were to kill it, the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come on that nation and they will be destroyed? Yes? There has been a camel that existed. It was a symbol of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the people who killed that camel, they were punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you say that, you know, if somebody was to show affection to that camel, would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be happy or upset? Happy. Because the symbol, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made that camel as a symbol. If somebody was to be affectionate, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be happy. When they killed her, right, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was wrathful. Punished those people. At the time of the sixth Imam, Hazrat İmam Cafer Sadık Aleyhisselatü Vesselam A person comes and says that I've heard that you have the asa of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that you have that stick by which he used to walk. And Imam said, okay, I do have it, but what do you need for it? Why do you want it? And the person replied that, you know, I would like to kiss it to show my reverence and my love for the Holy Prophet. Why? Because that asa belonged to the Holy Prophet. I would like to kiss it. The sixth Imam said, he went like this and said, if you want to show reverence and love to the Holy Prophet, I am the son of the Prophet. I have the same blood as the Prophet. You can go ahead and kiss my hand. Now, people will have a problem in doing that, but they will not have a problem kissing if there is an asa that is found, that is said to be the asa of the Holy Prophet. They will not have an issue with that. Right? You know that among us, the progeny or the bloodline of the Holy Prophet still exists. Right? People who are the descendants of the Holy Prophet, right? They still exist. Their bloodline continues. And you'll find a lot of the groups of Muslims paying love and respect and reverence to those individuals. Why? Because of the character? Probably, most likely, in too many cases, not. Because of their love for the Holy Prophet. So this actually is a natural emotion. It's a natural sign of the love that you want to show to somebody. Then also, you have a thing called righteousness or holiness. How does something become holy? You have a piece of paper, alright, with me? You have a piece of paper, you print on that piece of paper Quran. What happened? Ink went on that paper, and all of a sudden now, it's a holy book. Right? Before, it used to be written on, you know, skin of an animal. The skin of that animal would become holy because of the writing on it. And today when you the Quran that you have, in the beginning it was just paper and cardboard. Right? And then ink got published, it got written. Once it was written, now the book that was before just a book or just an empty, you know, pages or just cardboard, all of a sudden now it is holy. What happened to it? You know, they found 1300 year old, more or less, the writing of the Quran that is, I think, here somewhere in Birmingham. Yeah. You might have seen it. And they said it is exactly the same as what you have today. Right? So this is acceptable. But if you were to take a regular cloth, which was a regular cloth, nobody just kisses a regular cloth, and then write Hazrat Abbas's name and make it an association to Hazrat Abbas, that cloth does not become holy. But to you, the cloth that has the green and the white and a star and a crescent becomes holy. With me? That flag becomes holy for you, that if someone was to burn it, you will come out on the streets. You will say that you burned the flag of my country. What does it have? Just some green, bit of white, and a crescent and a star. Why so much affiliation to that? But when it comes to have the name of Hazrat Abbas on a flag, the name of Hazrat Abbas on the flag, you will say, no, consider it just this much. That you don't want to consider the fact that, okay, there were four, right? The leaders after the Holy Prophet, there were four of them. One of them happens to be Imam Ali alayhi salam. Hazrat Abbas in history, whether you look at in any group of Muslims, is the son of Imam Ali alayhi salam. If you have reverence for that leader of yours, you consider him as the leader, he happens to be his son, and that son on the battlefield of Karbala was martyred, and he showed his loyalty and strength and courage against those people that you yourself in history consider them to be at wrong, at fault. I think personally that the azab of Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the one factor that can unite all of Muslims. All of Muslims can be united on that one ground. Because everybody loves the Holy Prophet and everybody loves the grandson of the Holy Prophet. There's no Muslim out there, they will tell you that they don't love the Holy Prophet and they don't love the grandson of the Holy Prophet. There cannot be. There will be nobody who says that I don't love Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, whether that person belongs to whichever group of Muslims. Well, if you love, you have a friend that you love and his grandson passes away, do you not go and pay your condolences to that friend? Yeah? You not do that? You do it. Then this happened to the grandson of the Holy Prophet. To show your love and reverence, you can attend those ceremonies that are commemorating the martyrdom of the grandson of the Holy Prophet. That common love that we have for Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his household can unite us. Believe me when I say that all of the Muslims, they love the Holy Prophet and they love Imam Hussain. There's no Muslim out there that does not have that love. But what has happened is that instead of us uniting on that platform, you know, we have divided even our own selves. Even our own selves we've divided. But the azab of Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is such that if you guys understand it properly, and you build the bridges that have been burnt or broken by our elders or the people of the past or the ones that are doing that right now, that are actually paid to do that. You as my brothers and sisters who are our future, if you can learn about this, that this is the most powerful platform that you have to unite the Muslims on that platform, things will change in the future. Even the Hindus, they love Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I don't know if you guys have heard or not, but people in India, when they have the Julus and the Matam of Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they come and they participate and they give whatever they have in the name of Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There was this one doctor, he was narrating that a person, he used to always attend the Julus of Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he saw him one year, he didn't show up, and you know, he started to ask about him, and what he found out that he had passed away. So the people, they burned his body as through their ritual rites, and there was a cloth that was full of something. They brought to the Muslims and said, "This is yours." They brought this cloth that had something in there, wrapped, to the Shias, to the Muslims, and said, "This is yours." And when they opened it, there was partially a hand and partially a piece of his chest. The fire that they put him through did not burn that hand or that piece of chest. And they said, "This is yours, it belongs to you." A person narrates that he went for the ziyarat of Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he bought some meat and brought it home and gave to the wife to cook it, and she started cooking it in the morning and the meat would not melt, like it would not break, it would not get soft. And all day she cooked and it didn't, and all night she cooked and it didn't, and the person took the meat back to the seller and said that, you know, this meat that you've given to us, it doesn't want to become soft. We can't cook it. It's the same way as it was yesterday when I bought it from you. The person who was selling the meat, he asked, the butcher asked, he said, when you were going home, did you go through the haram of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam? And he said, yes. He said, if you took it through the haram of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, this meat, fire is not going to affect it. I mean, there are people who love Imam Hussein Sassam, and there are plenty of ways that Imam Hussein Sassam shows that he loves us. But, like, where are we? How come it doesn't affect our hearts? There was a Hindu, and he had a business. Every time he would make some money, a portion of it, he would tell his accountant to put it in a different place and save it in the name of Sait Hussein. Right? Sait Hussein is a title, like Sait means like somebody who is very wealthy. So he says, save it for Sait Hussein. So years went by and his business went down. Now the accountant came up to him and said, you know, your business has gone down, you don't have any money left. Why don't you ask Sait Hussein to help you? He said, why don't you ask him? You've been giving money to him. Today you're in need. You should ask Sait Hussein to give you something. And this man replied, he said, don't ever ask me this again. What I gave to Sait Hussein is his. Don't ever ask me this question again. And the door knocks. So the accountant goes. He comes back with a bag. And he said, the person at the door said, that this is from Sait Hussein. When he opened that bag, there was money in there. He was putting money aside just out of reverence and love for Imam Hussein, which that money would have been utilized maybe for the azah of Imam Hussein. When you look at, there are so many of these out there. The amount of love Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Ahlul Bayt show to those people who don't even believe. There's a person I know, he at work, he had this lady who was a Christian, and he saw her and she was really upset. And he asked her, like, what is wrong with you? She said, I've got a lot of troubles and I'm really, really depressed and I don't know what to do. He said to her that when you go home, I'll tell you to do something. Find an alone area and just keep repeating this. Oh, the Lady of Light, Fatima. He said, just keep repeating that. This Christian woman went home. And I'm talking about the person who's narrating, is a friend of mine. I can have you speak to him. This lady went home in a dark room. She sat down. And the next day, when she came, she was very happy. And he asked her, like, how was it? She said, I went to that room, I sat down, and I started repeating, O Lady of Light, Fatima. She said, I kept on saying, O Lady of Light, Fatima. And as I kept saying, O Lady of Light, Fatima, I started to cry. She said, who was this Lady of Fatima? Lady of Light, Fatima. She said, I cried, I felt better. The next day, my problems were gone. And she says that whenever I have issues, I have problems, I just do that. I sit down and I just keep on saying, O Lady of Light, Fatima. And my problems are solved. But we who believe in them, the ones who should show the amount of love that we have for Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, When it comes to their sayings, we don't do anything. When it comes to action of acting upon their sayings, we don't do anything. But we show our love and reverence. While in that love and reverence, even Christians are there. You know, Hindus are there. Sikhs are there. How is our love expression different than theirs? The way it can be different is that if we were to understand that Tawheed that was explained, that Allah that was explained in Karbala, through the sacrifice of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, and by that, knowing that religion that was saved in that version, that was saved by Imam Hussain alayhi salam, acting on that religion, building our character, and becoming the true followers of the Imam of the time, because we will be tried the same way as the people of Kufa, Medina, and Makkah were tried. If you don't do that, what is the difference? You'll have Hindus going to the Julus, kissing the Alam, or they will be following it, or they will be hating, you know, they will be doing Matam. The Sikhs would do that, they'll make the Aziyas and so forth, they'll make that expression, that visual. Right? They give Nazar and Niyaz in the name of Imam Hussain and Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They participate in the Azah of Imam Hussain with their money and with their time. How are we different? If still inside of us loyalty hasn't come, how are we different? Then we've been crying for Hazrat Abbas alayhi salam for years, but yet we don't have loyalty inside of us. How are we different? If still today submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is difficult for us, how are we different? Hazrat Abbas is from a generous family. He's from a family of generous beings that gave to anyone who was a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were even merciful to their enemies. Hazrat Abbas has been, you know, kind of shown to us in a way that, you know, everybody's scared of Hazrat Abbas. You can, like if you go to some countries, you tell them, okay, swear on Allah, they will swear on Allah, such and such. But if you were to ask him, if you really want to find out if he's truthful or not, if you were to say, okay, you know, swear on Hazrat Abbas, meaning Qasam ka Hazrat Abbas ki, so if the person is lying, he will not say it. And Hazrat Abbas alayhi salatu wasalam, that is a being that is part of a generous family, a kind-hearted individual. An individual who submitted to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in worship, with a forehead that showed the sign as the knee of the camel. The way we project him becomes as something of to be feared. He is to be loved. He is to be taken as our role model. When you go through Karbala, you'll see that Hazrat Abbas alayhi salatu wasalam had a very important role. His role was that he was the backbone of Imam Hussain alayhi salatu wasalam. He was the absolute support of Imam Hussain. And Hazrat Abbas helping Imam Hussain in every single aspect, and seeing the Bani Hashim going to the battlefield and helping Imam Hussain to carry the bodies. Now himself as well being thirsty, and at every junction he would ask for permission. He would say, let me go. I want to fight, I want to defend. And at every junction, Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would say no. Hazrat Abbas had heard the cries of the children. If you can't understand the thirst that these children had, try to bring about that thirst that you get when you open your fast. When your tongue and throat is that dry that your lips crack, think about that thirst. If you fasted, you know what I'm saying. Now imagine multiply this thirst by 3. And then multiply by even more with the heat that the sands of Karbala had. And then multiply that with the scenes that Hazrat Abbas had to see. He's thirsty. The kids are thirsty. When a child says Al-Atash, I don't know how the heart of Hazrat Abbas heard that noise. Bibi Sakina, when she saw that the children are thirsty, she comes up to Hazrat Abbas and says that, you know, uncle, if you can bring us some water. The vessel that she gave is called the Mashkiza of, you know, Bibi Sakina, when you hear maybe in the Urdu Masaib. It's a bag that you can fill it with water, it's made of leather. So Hazrat Abbas looked out to Imam Hussein and said that, you know, I need you to give me permission to get some water. At least let me do that. At this particular point, when Imam Hussein gave the permission for Hazrat Abbas to go, this shows the submission that he had for the Imam of the time. He said, Abbas, when you go, you're only going to go get some water. I'm not sending you for fight. If Hazrat Abbas alayhi salatu wasalam had been there as a fighter to go against the enemies, today the history would have narrated that Imam Hussein went there to fight. Imam Hussein went there on the call of those individuals who called him that they did not have the Imam. He did not go to fight. His way was blocked. His water was blocked. And Hazrat Abbas goes to the river, he gets to the river, he holds the water in his hand, he looks towards the camp, says, I can't drink this water. It's not fair that I drink the water while my master is thirsty or the children are thirsty. Can you imagine? He fills the mashkiz of Bibi Sakina and he's going back. You know, when you hear, you know, so there is arrows that are being thrown at him. The arms being severed. Both arms severed. An arrow comes and hits the Mashkiza Bibi Sakina. Now here, the heart of Hazrat Abbas is such that, okay, it's okay, I lost my arms, it's okay. I'll get to the camp, I'll give this water to Bibi Sakina and the children, it's okay. When that arrow hit and the water start going, guess now what? And at that moment, a person hit Hazrat Abbas's head with an iron rod. These rods were made specifically to hit a person to crush their skull. And believe me, I'm not saying this so you cry. I'm narrating this to you to wake you up. I'm not narrating this for you to cry. You cry or you don't cry, it's up to you. You listen to this or you don't listen to it, it's up to you. This sacrifice of Hazrat Abbas is meant to wake us up, to realize where you are, where I am. When this person hit the head of Hazrat Abbas, he fell on the ground. When you fall on the ground, you protect your face and your body with your arms and your hands. Imagine a person falling from the horse that does not have arms. An arrow in the eye. A broken skull. A broken heart. How is he going to show his face, Bibi Sakina? As Hazrat Abbas falls, Imam Hussain Sattu Islam starts walking towards him and said, the enemies narrate that Hussain had a bend in his back now. He wasn't able to walk straight. He had bent down and he was walking slowly. Kazar, my back is broken. He gets to Hazrat Abbas, he's lying there. Imam Hussain sits down, puts his head on his lap. As he puts his head on his lap, Hazrat Abbas moves his head. Picks him up again, puts his head on his lap, puts his head back. Imam Hussain asks, you know, why are you doing that? And he replied, you know, I'm trying to imagine when you are going to be in your last time, your last breath, you're not going to have anyone that is going to take your head and put it for comfort in the lap. I could not see this for myself. Oh. Hazrat Abbas says, Mawla, I have a few requests. One is that you do not take my body to the camp. Don't take my body to the camp. You know, Hazrat Abbas, with the height that he had, and with Imam Hussain, with the back that is broken, and when you lift a body, if the body doesn't have any arms, if the body doesn't have any arms, you would have to lift the whole body. Hazrat Abbas is saying, don't take me to the camp, because Bibi Sakina is going to see this. You know what Bibi Sakina had to see? The severed head of Hazrat Abbas on a spear. While she was made a prisoner. Imam Hussain says that, now I have a request too. All your life you've called me master. Can you call me your brother? Today, can you call me brother? The hearts of the children were broken. The daughters of the Prophet were like, they had security when Hazrat Abbas was alive. But once that was done, they're like, that's it. Our security is gone. My brothers and sisters, when are we going to wake up? When are these tears going to wake us up for us to have something from Hazrat Abbas? For us to give something back to Hazrat Abbas. If we don't do that, we might not be ready for the coming of our Imam. And if we're not ready for the coming of our Imam, there's no guarantee which place we're going to be. Whether we're going to be against him or with him. This is our opportunity to learn. May Allah SWT bless us with the true understanding. May Allah SWT give us the courage to these little brothers of ours, for them to grow up and have us the Bas as their role model, so that they can become prepared for the coming of our Imam. May Allah SWT give us the true understanding of him and the understanding of his religion, of his prophet, of the Imam, of the Azaf, Imam Hussein, and all the means that he has made for us. May the Imam of the time come as soon as possible. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wal-Asr. Inna al-insana lafi khusr. Illa al-ladhina amanu wa amilu al-salihat wa tawassu bil-haq wa tawassu bil-shaykh.